Blog Talk Radio.
Go crazy. Hold up. Wait. Stop, stop. Go crazy. Hold up, hold up. Wait. Stop. Now go crazy,
hell back,
not no more,
not no more.
Came back,
settle score, me be you,
one on one,
ain't no stopping,
what's
begun,
foundation, hard work, determination, demonstrated, brick laid, long nights, overstayed, never played, insane, don't justify, I just wanna make a song cry, let it speak, loud and clear, no pain, no fear, ambition, sound vision, cooked in the lab, my words missing, vocal tracks on overload, just how I seen it unfold, not twisted, not tangled, I'll leave your mangled, unrecognizable, bird box, no blindfold, bust back, doom, doom, doom. Solid, not see-through. You have no idea of what I just might do. Capsize your boat. Burn down your hotel. Get all I got. Send you to hell.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait.
Stop.
Now go crazy.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait.
Stop. Now go crazy.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait.
Stop. Now go crazy.
Hold up. Hold up.
It's the Real Spiel Show, and I'm your host, B.I.G. O'Meezy, Big O'Meezy, the great communicator on this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful West Coast Wednesday. Now, I'm only saying wonderful so that I can gas myself up. I want to gas myself up in such a way to make myself feel good, because I don't feel good. I don't feel good at all. I just got some news. You asked me what the news was. This is the news from Mr. Gavin Newsom, our mayor, our governor, the governor of the great state of California. Here I am thinking that I'm about to get a reprieve. I'm about to get released from this torment that we call the COVID-19 quarantine lockdown. And I'm thinking that my release date is May 1st. But lo and behold, it's not May 1st. Not only is it not May 1st, the Sacramento County Public Health Officer, as of May 1st, 11:59 p.m., will be in effect until 11:59 May 22nd. You know what that means, people? That means we're on lockdown some more. So May 1st is no longer my release date from this house arrest. And for you essential workers who think you are so free, who are essentially on work release, because why? Because you don't get to spend your money on the things that you really want to spend them on, like clothes, like movies, like music. I mean, you could buy music, of course, but there's no concerts for you to go to. There's no grandiose thing. But I digress, because I know for a fact that it's really about taking care of the people and making sure that the people don't get sick. All of us, even the ones who think they had it, the ones who never got sick and none of that, at the end of the day, we all trying to stand together and stay together and try to figure this whole thing out. You know, so even with these new guidelines, and essentially I think only the only difference on this whole thing is that you can go to a shooting range, which I think you already were able to do, tennis courts, boating. You can go back on the boats. Everybody is on the boat anyway, tying their boats together. There is no basketball, no football, no soccer. All that is still prohibited. The gyms are still closed, to my knowledge. Beauty salons, hair and nail salons are still shut down on a lot. So basically, nothing for you, California. Nothing for you, California. Nothing for you. So I digress. On this wonderful Wednesday, this West Coast Wednesday, all we could do is sit back and we can wonder what would have been had President Orange Face got a hold of this way early before it erupted into what it is today. But with Clorox and this, that, and the third, we have nothing else to talk about. So on another note, we're going to get off into a whole bunch of things today, a whole bunch of subjects. I have my friend, my homeboy, my special guest, Deion Taylor, film director, producer, screenwriter, multiple movies out right now. I'm thinking if I was to Google it or do my research right now, I'd probably say 15, 20, 30. I don't know. But I know the last two movies was fire. I'm all into everything that he got going on. And being that I've known him for quite some time, it's always a pleasure to have him on the show. So I want to welcome everybody to the Real Spill Show. Also, if you tuned in yesterday on me and my sister's new show, The Sibling Rivalry, man, it was a whole lot of fun. We didn't really argue as much as I thought we would, because you know it was the first show. So trust me, I know the next show is gonna be lit. So we're gonna get off into this West Coast Wednesday. We got Deion Taylor coming up. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Our like I said, our time. Our quarantine time got extended. May 22nd is our new release date. All we could do was suck it up at this point, do what we got to do, and kick some of this gangster funk by my homeboy EA Ski featuring E-40, Be Legit, and CPO the Boss Hog. You dig? Let's go. Real Spill Show.
Yo, what's good with it? It's the almighty EA Ski on the Real Spill Show with the homie, the big old Meezy.
You ain't heard?
Oh no, it's slam.
EHG and Mike Marshall? They won't believe it. Oh yeah, it's big. It's big. Cause you know it's funky.
EHG, man, you know it's funky. Can you feel it?
And that cat Mike Marshall? Oh, they doing big things.
Better recognize a big fish when you see one. Sold a million copies, but your pockets ain't swollen up to beat one. Keep rapping about 10 more years, you might catch up to my pocket change and my bling bling. All y'all better rap for free, cause I ain't heard y'all say one thing that'll move me. With all the cussing, guns, and drugs, you ain't felt nothing till you hit by a real slug. Since this will be your subject matter, your tracks better get a little fatter. You better get the game to an uprise, cause in a sec I'ma be like .com, turn around and get the downside. Mr. Ski, still a showdown and y'all still can't see me. I give y'all what the gangsters want, and that's nothing but the gangster funk.
Act straight, no coke. Finna go intimidate folk. Who see me in a truck on dub? Got your news wrong. I was in the truck with the 22s on. Come game with the funky Nakamichi. Sub it. Big daddy finna go clubbing. So when you hear balls in the aisle, not a dashing on. Stop, show respect and get your buggy back on. Now y'all that's so cold. Oh, got so much bank, pay for my drink. And bring me that super duper bad shit. Right there, man. Ass so big, gotta lift it with a crane. She wanna go to my spot. Hell no. Take it to the parking lot though. And you can open up your trunk. That's what you can do. Like slot, gangsta funk.
Gangsta funk, that's what it is. Better go and ask somebody. Cause if gangsta funk is what you need, better go get E.A.G. If you want gangsta funk.
Y'all better be lucky that my homie told me to lay back with the lyrical, cause I was about to hit you with it. Expose all y'all rap stars with the costume, jewelry, and the rented out cars. Of course y'all didn't think they own that. See them in traffic and they ain't got that. And I gotta be the one to make a statement. Put the game in replacement and take it back to the basement. I smash on y'all. Two singles out, Skrills on ball. I'm not from L.A., I'm from the Bay. Yay, East Side, O.A.K. Cause it ain't no Crips and Bloods. Just remember we the ones that invented the thugs. We the ones that got pimps, players, ballers, hustlers. We got the most damn busters. You can run up if you wanna. Old Town is known for clearing corners. It's gangster. No, it ain't Southern Cal. It's Northern Cal with cats that straight criminal. You don't wanna come to the Yay with the wrong attitude and be missing in the Bay. Yay. Respect is all we want. And we ride to the gangster funk.
Rhyming is a doozy. I watch my drinks in the club. Ain't nobody finna slip me a goofy. I'm off this ruby red. Great through the sneakers. Me and my Eezus. Me and my hyenas and barracudas be leaning to the side when we walk. Watching the slickers and scammers fly when we talk. Like cameras action and signing autographs on that. Mackin' and jacking my slack staples and peelberry strap. Telling them letters in to the back. Yo, little Joe, pitiful 7-Eleven. Bet I get a hug from the baddest booch in the club. Honey fly a pill, but that honey ain't all that sharp. Honey got some pill, but that honey ain't all that smart. This shit can outthink a thinker by taking me to the cleaner. Like I'm some type of a peon on Jerry Springer. Got me with it and figured out like a chump, but just don't know the phony water about that.
Gangsta funk, that's what it is. Better go and ask somebody. Cause if gangsta
And my house is the sickest.
That's right.
You better ask around. Got cats that'll break you down. Where they from? O-Town. Ain't no joke when they come with the Glock and the tech. Lay you all down. If I don't sell what I'm looking for, might resort to the criminal act. Call me the mad rap. The bank gotta stick together. Either we win with this rap or we die forever. Dogs, riders, throw it up. Try to sell a few million, keep the homies out of handcuffs. Some of y'all, I can't trust you. And we still got the most damn busted. Still got cats that'll touch you. One phone call, EA Ski, you'll be the one that'll hush you. These heavy cats might rush you. Have you screaming and yelling like that boy named Usher. Or we just might bust you. Whatever results you get, you ask for it. And we won't say it no more time. You're grinding, we taught y'all how to grind.
That's right.
Give it to me when I come and get the cabbage. Stab with hitters like EA Ski, CMT, and me and 40. See, we out the V. The back up, little homie with the afro. On the spot with the Gatlow black flow. That'll stack your stack mo. With the crack go at your back though, flat toe. Aim with the beam on. Won't settle, put the heat on, skeet on. Pop pebbles to the cheekbone. Hot metal to the geek gone. Hot metals from the street zone. Next stop is the honeycomb. It's bang funk, yeah, we bringing it on. Catch one to the funny bone. Assets in your money gone. Should've known that the Bay Boys are roaming the zone.
What's happening, man? This is E40, and you listening to my partner, Big Ol' Measy, on The Real Spill Show. Here go my new single. It's called Go, from my upcoming album, The Curb Commentator.
Yeah. What's going on? It's the hungry, hustling, African-American wet dream, the successful failure, the acceptable reject. Yes, I get dissed, but it's with respect. The rock and roll gangster, OG, Amsterdam, Afro, money-making marijuana, smoking mother... M.A.A., you know what I'm saying? And yes, you're listening to Real Spill with my homeboy, Big Ol' Measy, for Sheezy. And you know why you're here, because you got high. And then you drunk some of that Coke 45 with two zigzags. Baby, that's all we need out.
Hey, man, it's your partner, Hit a Slim, man. What's up, big homie? Big Ol' Measy. You know I'm on the Real Spill Show. Run something for your dog. Yeah.
Look, juice shit, hella clean. Cook shit, hella clean. Soon shit, hella clean. Yeah. Bro got rapper weed shit. Blow hard, even though it got a couple seeds. Bring him back the whistle tip. Niggas sitting cozy with a nice little honey dip. Damn. Hey, you know I got the mirror shaky trunk finna break loose. Insides vibrating. Hey. Breaking down the interstate. Nigga got the big lobster tail on the dinner plate. Eating. And we smoking in the back lot. Put that shit out, cause a nigga blowing up the spot. Feet got real gas. J got real gas. L got pure gas. Trestle got pure gas. Lunch got pure gas. Charles always got gas. Nigga, this some steel toe shit. In the middle of the night with a raw bitch. I ain't slowing up the pace. Lil' Brody hit a couple bumps, but he in a race. Whip got soundproof. Saw a nigga coming off the top like I'm in the booth. But I'm in the coupe and the grill slanted. I'm blowing this shit from another planet. Feel me? Nate got real gas. Dizzle got real gas. Geek got pure gas. Kale got real gas, Moose got real gas, Quan got real gas. Shaving his ice down. If you turn shit up, it's gon' pound. And I got a pound for the low ski. Need mine on the spot, you can't owe me. Zim shit, hella clean. B shit, hella clean. E shit, hella clean. Pouring up a clear shot. Nigga hit the EQ, then I'll circle in the block.
This your player partner, Cujo Goody, 1-4 for the mighty Goody Mob. You know what I'm talking about? Dungeon Family, Outcast. And you on the real spiel with my kinfolk, Big Old Measy. Meh, see? Meh.
Meh. We back on the Real Spiel Show. It's your host, B.I.G. O'Measy, Big Old Measy. If you didn't hear the top of the show, I talked about the new information coming from the city of Sacramento, coming from our governor, the governor of California. The quarantine has been extended. The stay in place has been extended until May 22nd. So we already been preparing for this. May 1st is not happening. We already know. So therefore, we have to adjust and we have to figure this out. So we're going to talk about this all through this interview with the homie Dion. He's on right now. Shout out to Cujo Goody. Cujo has a wonderful, him and the Goody Mob have a wonderful Unsung that's on TV One right now. Y'all make sure y'all go check that out. He got an album that's out right now as we speak up on the microphone. Hit a Slim got a project that's out right now. 95 Mil got a project that's out right now called, what is it called, Bunky? Okay, it's called Wellness. It's out right now as we speak up on the microphone. E40 got one coming up May 5th, I believe. So y'all make sure y'all support all these projects. Y'all make sure y'all support all these movies that's coming out that's made for us and by us and circle and recycle the dollars. Shout out DJ Sensei on the line. Shout out the homegirl Alita. I was just on her show with the legendary Mike Mosley. You know what I'm saying? So, and that was big. Shout out DJ Smurf and shout out Miss King that was on that thing. Without any further ado, because I seen this man early this morning walking up to walking in his neighborhood, what I like to call rage walking. Rage walking is when you walk in and you don't realize how long you've been walking, then you be like, oh shit, I walked 5 miles. So please put your hands together for my homeboy, the only person to be on all three of my shows. And that's an honor for me, because this dude is real busy. He out there rage walking up in his mountains and shit. And I'm just happy to have this great person on my show. The homie Deion Taylor is on the line. Hold on, Deion. Let's, you know, I always got to make sure you get your salute, man, when you come on this show, brother.
What up?
Yeah, I gotta make sure you get your salute, brother. Are you good, man? Have you been able to breathe since this morning, brother? Like, I was real worried. I was going to hit you, but I said, you know what? As a journalist, I have to save it for the show. I know he's venting. I know he, you know what I'm saying, he's rage walking. He probably, how many miles did you walk this morning, brother?
Man, you know what, man? I did 11 miles today, man. I'm trying to get it in, man. But no, you're right. I was hot this morning. You know, like where we come from and what we're aspiring to do, man, is, you know, pretty much push the culture forward. And I feel like if you're not doing that, then you're trying to kill us. You know what I mean? So
right.
The reality is, man, like, you know, I really take the voting thing extremely serious, man. I mean, anybody that knows me know I'm really like out here trying to, you know, do things to push us forward and educate us on different things that we should be educated on, you know. And I tell you, man, when I woke up, and few of these people are my friends, you know what I mean? So like Charlamagne,
right,
and Diddy, and like, I just, the way that came to me was the wrong way this morning. And basically, that people don't know what we're talking about. Diddy had put up a post. I think it was last night.
I've seen that.
His tweet. He was basically saying, you know, we basically need to hold our vote hostage and have the representatives, which is Biden, you know, tell us first what he's going to do to get our vote. And that just enraged me, man, based on the fact that there's no time for that right now. You know what I mean? Like, the reality is you got two choices. You could vote for Trump or vote for Biden. That's it. Or your third choice is going to be you don't vote at all, which is what we've been doing for the last 8 years. So for me, I'm like, you know, we work in that marketplace. Like, we have a platform called Be Woke Vote, which we put a lot of money into, man, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year, which is a voter registration, you know, platform for people to learn how to vote, educating people in rural cities, you know what I mean? Like South Sacramento, like Gary, Indiana, like Chicago, you know, young 18, 19-year-old kids, is extremely hard to get them to understand that they need to go vote. And, you know, basically we got to the point to where this morning when I seen that, I just got upset, because you can't tell us as a people we finna hold somebody accountable, and if they don't do what we want them to do, then we not going to vote for them, because the reality is that means Trump wins. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and it wasn't that long ago that he just did the state of emergency on Revolt, saying that the government was trying to kill us. And then you back Biden in a corner by saying that this vote is going to cost you, or we're going to have some preordained like, this is what black people will get if they vote, which is pretty much what Trump did when he said, what else do you have to lose? And now I guess we know now we got our lives to lose. We fell for the okie doke. But I seen exactly what you saw, and that shit sent me to another place too. And I'm always watching Charlamagne Tha God on Breakfast Club, and he always throwing in little snide remarks about Biden, which I get, because now I just see on Twitter people still are talking about whatever sexual assault thing that he had going on in his past or whatever that he won't speak up on. Just as long as that lingers out there, it really puts us in a us as Democrats, because I'm a Democrat. It is what it is. Everybody is what they are. You Republican, you're independent, whatever you are, I'm a Democrat, been a Democrat, voted for Obama, you know what I'm saying? And really, that was really like the first time I really was really focused on voting those two elections to make sure that Obama was elected. And I remember that I really paid attention because Kevin Johnson was coming for mayor, and we had all these people that we had to make sure that we paid attention to each individual vote. And just like you said this morning, it's not just about president, but all the people who run our cities, the cops, the sheriffs, every position in the city needs to be focused on. And we never really, as a people, just band together to make sure that we get the elected officials that we need. And that definitely needs to stop. And I'm glad that you woke up with your rage walk and brought that to the forefront. And you should do that. But you should really do that, bro. Like, just how you doing it, man. It's like, even though you're a successful director, bro, and you rub shoulders with the best of them, I see it. Anybody that's watching and watching your moves on the gram, they see it, bro. But it's always good to not be no sucker and no bitch-ass nigga and just stay real and just stay doing it the way you doing it. I just hope you know that this is my show, so it's clean. It's clean or dirty now. I say what the fuck I want to. So usually I had, so if you be like, ooh, Omizi cuss. Yes, yeah, I did, because shit. It's the Real Spill Show, OLH Entertainment. But I want people to be able to come on here and be just how you are. Just really say your piece, bro, because just like you said, there's no time for games this time around. No times for games. No tee-hee-ha-ha. No one minute it's a state of emergency. The next minute you right back to buck dancing. You smell me?
No, we can't do it, man. Oh, and I'm being honest, man. It don't matter how successful anybody is or what. Right now, man, we owe it to everybody that we know. If you see some light and you know some information, your job right now as black men is to go share that information with the community. And unfortunately, man, a lot of us don't have the information, so we have to go share that with them. And the reality is, a lot of this shit that's out here, man, is a movie. It's someone trying to figure out. There's always an angle to something. And at some point, man, you get to a place in life, which is right now. This is the most important, critical moment of everyone's life. Is this moment right now, today? And a lot of people are laughing it off, a lot of people twerking it off, a lot of people, papping it off. Like, whatever the hell it is that you do, you can't do it right now. Like, you got to stop and pay attention. This is the first time. First of all, the last 3 years, the country's been divided. So now what's beginning to happen is they're not just dividing the country between black and white and are you Trump supporter or not? But now what's happened is it's beginning to be divided with rich and poor. See, there used to be a somewhat of a middle class. Right? It's still like a year and a half ago, there was still some sort, you knew somebody that had a little bit of bread. We like, oh man, he doing okay. And then somebody that ain't making no money, ain't got no gas money. Well, what's going to happen is when you come out of this, 26, 28 million people unemployed, things are not going to snap back to reality like they were. That's never going to go back. Do you know how many black businesses are boarding up right now and won't never return? So what's going to happen is 2020, 2021, what ultimately happens is it now is going to be the first time in a country where it is poor and rich, and there is no middle. Either you got a bunch of money and you can take care of your family, put gas in your car, you got it, or you absolutely do not. And what's happening now is now when you start playing with politics, people don't understand this dude that's the president right now. He can say anything he wants to say. What he is doing that's effective is he's making rich people get even richer. And I know a lot of rich people that won't say it, but they ride with him because they are getting so much money. And the reality is at this point, do you want – what he's showing you now, would you want a bunch of money or do you want to die? Right? Because at this point, it's like, all right, you got to choose humanity over money right now. But for us as black and brown people, man – game time is over, man. So that means all our leaders, that means all of our role models, the people we look up to, they have to be real. They can't lead us down a road and all of a sudden pull the rug from under us, because then you find out like, oh, why did he do that? Oh, he has something to gain from that. I'm like, no, you're playing with the community now, and you're also playing with our lives, because based on the fact that if you get to, South Sacramento, you start talking about Oak Park, Del Paso Heights, people got to use transit to get to where they're going. But when you start talking about getting into like Chicago and New York, where you got to get on a bus and a train for 2 hours to get to one location to vote, all of a sudden now, if you've already put in my mind, oh, I ain't voting for none of these fools, right now I'm not going to go vote. If you talk about,
right,
let's wait and see what he say. Let's see what he say first. Like, no, your whole messaging right now to the whole community, to the whole country, is to go vote, period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Go vote, period, man. And I was only making the point, which you are so articulate to understand, and you know this because you've been around for a long time and you're smart. All the stuff that's happening in your community, you have to vote for those things too. We have to pay attention. If you want to see these cops stop beating us up, yesterday, a couple of days ago, the kid in Rancho Cordova, like, we have a right to go to the Capitol and march and create change around who the police lieutenant is, who the chief is. There's a moment in time when we could rally the whole city and get people out like that. The problem is we don't do it because it slips by us. We're like, oh, I didn't know you could really do that. That's why voting, we've been lied to as a community about voting. One of the biggest lies that they've told us as black people, and I'm going to get off this, man, I'm sorry.
Do your thing, brother.
One of the biggest lies and the biggest misconceptions that they have taught us as black and brown people is that your vote don't count, right? And that goes back to the biggest trick the devil ever played was make you think he never existed, right? So at the end of the day, if you're walking around like, oh, it don't matter about vote, don't count. Like, no, brother, that's a lie. That's what they taught us. You have to remember, people were getting lynched trying to vote. People died to vote. That's your right. The same way Trump is in there and they can't get him out is because he knows some of his rights. That's why you can't move him. That's why you can get him out a little bit, but you can't really shake him. There are laws and things that are in place that we have to utilize and adhere to. So for me, man, I'm just, you know, on the show right now, I'm just saying everybody in SAC, Don't be misdirected, man. In 6 months, when it's time to go vote, we need everybody, man. Everybody to get up, go to them polls, and get this dude out of office, straight up.
So you see the devil is very conniving. He's very smart. God is powerful, but the devil is powerful also. So he always tries to counter everything positive with something extremely negative. So you see everybody get their $1,200 check, their pockets is touching. They say, oh, what did Obama do? This man put $1,200 in my pocket. You can't argue with that because that's just the facts. That's just how they got it set up like that. You know what I'm saying? Every time he does something, they do something on the contrary to balance it out. Oh, we just signed a trillion dollar stimulus to get businesses back acclimated. Oh, we just did this. Oh, we just, I mean, they just good at what they do, and we don't do them no favors. We don't do, I mean, by having the people that we call black leaders, like Puffy, like, you know what I'm saying, like Kanye, you know, these people. Of course, Kanye just came out saying he was a billionaire, but yeah, because he getting that bread. Just like you said, Trump putting these billionaires in position to make, and his friends in position to make way more money. So it's like, how do you fight against that when you know what I'm saying, when it's always been gimme, and take, and never look out for the small people. Never look out for the people in the north and the south. You know what I'm saying? And I always use Florham Road and the Heights as a microcosm. It's like when I see those parts of SAC when you go to Oak Park and you say, damn, I never thought I'd see Oak Park like this. Like, you know, like, not really, but it's like, okay, you see Kevin Johnson's spot. You see people walking around. They look like they, you know, some black folks, like, they got some money. Like when you went to Atlanta the first time, you was like, holy shit, I never seen so many successful black folk. And then that starts playing with your mind because you thinking, oh, we made it. No, you ain't made it. Go that way. Go this way. Just go this way 10 miles and you're going to see that we ain't made nothing. Go to Oakland. You're going to see that we ain't made nothing. It's actually worse. While you sitting over here talking about this guy Trump gave you $1,200 funky-ass dollars, and so we know what your soul is worth. That's what your soul is worth. Your soul is worth $1,200 or whatever they gave Puffy to say, You know, and I think it's because they threatened his liquor by having the, you know, I don't know. It's all conspiracy and innuendo and all this type of shit. And you just had, it's like, just like you said, it's like a movie. It's like a Deion Taylor flick. The best action cameraman and the best writers. And they just wrote this shit out. And it took them quite some time to write this out. Kind of like this movie right here. No, kind of like this movie right
no,
here.
You,
let's take
no,
a, let's take
right.
a,
no,
let's,
right.
Hold on, let's take a 1 minute break. I'm gonna play this real quick, and then we go come right back, Dion. Hold on.
You really want this place, don't you?
I do.
Welcome to Fox Bluff. I'm Charlie Peck.
This view is beautiful.
It's the only house I ever lived in.
Nice looking family.
We always had a lot of love here. This house is yours now.
We'll take good care of her.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
Have a good time in Florida, buddy.
You're not gonna believe this. Charlie is outside cutting the grass.
What?
Did you just get this out of the garage?
That's right, keep it. Something is really off with that guy.
Hey, Scott.
Hello.
Hey, stop drilling holes in my house.
It's not your house. Charlie's quite a guy. You know his wife died in that house.
You think that's blood?
Your days of dropping by are over.
It's hard to say goodbye.
He's watching you. This guy is dangerous.
What the hell?
He got Diane's gang. The Intruder. Rated PG-13.
A Deion Taylor film. Hey, what was wrong with that? What was wrong with that dude, man? Why did she decide to eat pizza with this motherfucker, this crazy ass dude that kept popping? Why? Hey, I was like, when I get Deion on the show, I'm gonna ask him what was wrong with this dude. Hey, that movie was dope, bro. I ain't gonna lie. That you reached deep down in yourself for that one. What was going through your mind when y'all came up with that one?
Oh, man, that's a good movie, man. You know what? That film. When I was making Intruder, man, and I just remember sitting down with Megan, and I was telling her during the time of shooting the film, I said, man, we got to have some moments. What a lot of people didn't understand about that film was Dennis Quaid had multiple personalities and two faces. And if you watch that film again, you'll realize, although we know he's crazy because we're seeing the other side of him with Ely, a bunch of times and acting weird with Ely and acting weird with Joseph Sikora, Megan never seen that side of him. He's never, if you watch every frame of that movie, he's always one way with her. He never is weird or crazy in front of her with Michael. And so she has a reaction to him where she's a little bit gullible, and that movie has a much deeper message. You know, that's why we chose to build the movie. You know, the house actually represents the world and the black couple basically being, you know, a successful company, moving on up, having money, successful in business, you know, great marriage. Marriage is a little bit rocky. They're trying to figure it out. And then there's always something that comes to divide that. So Dennis Quaid represents the evil of that. That's why he lived underground. And, I'm just trying to figure out, man, consciously how to make a dope film that actually had a lot of different meanings, you know, on a completely different conversation level. And that movie really worked that way. But yeah, I was, you know, that was a fun movie to make, man. We shot that up in Canada, and it's funny because right when I wrapped that film, that's when I really started working on Black and Blue, and like the screenplay for that. So it was kind of like a really good time to process things and have those films rocking the way they were.
And you perfected, I don't know who you clicked up with or who, if y'all just, you know, but the casting has stepped up immensely, like. You know, kudos for that. Like the casting, and I mean, it's just, you know, I've been there since. What's that first one I seen? I seen '69.
75.
Yeah, Star 75. Is that what it was? Or you changed the name to it, right?
Then it was Dead Tone. Yeah, yeah. My first.
Right. Yeah. Since that Martin one, Hull. Bro, like. Right, yeah, I, but we go back, we family members, so I'm slowly catching up to all the flicks, right? I'm catching up to all the flicks. I'm ready for Meet the Blacks too, but this one right here, the homie Chris, DJ Sensei, he's on. He said he got some questions. Hold on, let me play this.
Okay. I've been shot.
What? You can't be in here with this.
Please.
Mouser's an ex-con, did time in jail.
was just trying to be clean.
I don't want no parts of this. The police, they'll help you.
It was the cops that shot me.
What the hell are you doing here, rookie?
Turn the body cam on!
Mouth is the only person she can turn to.
So what you going to do?
Expose her.
She cannot upload the footage on that camera.
You got a price on your head.
He has everything to lose. But he says, I'm going to risk it all to help you get justice.
Trust me, it's my hood.
I'm walking through the fire. He goes on this incredible journey with her.
D, I feel like you got a little actor in you, man. I think you could, the way you said that, the way you was like, he said that no matter what, right? He was like, you have to stand for it.
Hey, man, I love that film, man. You know, that movie's a great, that's a great film, man, like a really good timely movie, man. I'm so happy with that film. You don't remember, man, but I talked to you. We did this show when I was shooting Black and Blue. I was in New Orleans, and I did your show last year or a year ago.
Right, right,
yep, sure did. I was shooting it, yep.
Damn, that's crazy. And the action in this movie is beyond, like above and beyond, like crazy. Like I see you you had a cinematographer that, you know, somebody, you know, you had to capture that different eye.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, these films, man. So The Intruder, which is dope, man, is, you know, Daniel Pearl, who's my cinematographer on that. Daniel Pearl's who shot the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, shot Predator. I mean, too many films for me. There's the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then on Black and Blue, Dante Spinotti is the cinematographer who's been nominated for 4 Academy Awards. So he is who shot Heat. He is who shot The Insider, Last of the Mohicans. I mean, you know, Public Enemies. So, yeah, what happens with film, man, is a lot of people don't really understand. Film is a craft, just like basketball or just like, you know, like rapping or making songs. Like, the more practice you get, the more that you put yourself into those situations where you could actually storytell, understand camera, understand acting, understand what message you're trying to. It takes a while, but each movie is your job is to get better and better at storytelling. You know what I mean? And
right.
So I really take film, like I take film as serious as I took basketball when I was really playing basketball. And in some respects, man, I take film even more serious based on the fact that I understand now, you know, being a lot older, you know, this is something you have to be great at. Like, if you know what I mean? If you're going to really make it, you got, no one cares. When I was just having this conversation 2 days ago with Jamie Foxx, and I was explaining to him, what happens is when you went to the movies, oh, and this is a great reference for you and everybody listening. When you went to the movies to see The Intruder, no one cared that movie was made in 24 days for $4 million. My poster was hanging right next to The Avengers Endgame, which was a $250 million movie with $350 million in P&A with every star in the world. Right at that point, it's like the consumer is going to go see one of those movies. So you don't have any excuses, right? If you went to go see Intruder, which Intruder opened number 2 to Endgame, which historically was gigantic in 2019. That was insane, man, that movie opened that big like that. But it's the same with music. You got Travis Scott and Drake. If your CD or your shit is on Apple, iTunes, whatever, hey, don't nobody care that you had to make that in the bathroom and you didn't have that one producer. It's your shit is up there, man. Like, what did you do? How hard did you work? Is it dope or is it not? You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I approach film, man. Like, there's no more time for excuses. It's like, yo, can you make something great? You know, the movie Saw was made for $1 million. It grossed $2 billion, right? Get Out was made for $5 million. It grossed $1 billion and won 2 Oscars. So it's like, the time of like, oh, man, I don't owe me, oh, my, I don't have, like, that's like over, man. Your job is to get as dope as you can, create the best work that you can, and put it out so the consumer and people actually gravitate to it. And, oh, by the way, make sure you're saying something because we got enough emptiness. You know what I mean? Oh, let me say this. This is pretty dope, man. Also, I don't know if people know, man, it was so crazy because I found this out. I'm like, yo, that's crazy, man, how God works. So on that couple of our trailers, Doey Rock is who did the music.
No way.
And I promise you, man, I've heard like Doe is doing a lot of dope music for like NBA and film and television. Like they're doing wraparound music, him and his company. And I had spoke to him recently. He was like, yo, D, we did Black and Blue. And I'm like, I went back like, oh, shit, he did. So that's just, man, that's just God, man, putting you, you know, in positions where you're like, damn, that's crazy. How many years been for Doe? 10 years I ain't seen him.
You know, Doe got a good voice. You know, he always had a good voice for that type of dramatical shit. So
he sure does. He sure does.
Yeah, he fit right
yeah,
up in there. And plus, not even just that, but it's crazy because your style of directing, you can't be put in a box because the spectrum of your films are so vast that one, you know, like M. Night Shyamalan, he got to do some weird shit. He got his movies got to, you won't figure out nothing until the end of it. You know what I mean? So he's
right.
In a box. He can't really go outside his box. You know, Stephen King, you know, all these people. But you, from Meet the Blacks all to Black and Blue, it's like you can do anything and won't nobody say that you're compromising yourself because you came in the game doing everything. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I like that part, though. I like that you're able to do that, and there's no box that you can put, you know, saying you guys in. Let me get DJ Sensei. DJ Sensei, would you like to ask this brother a question? You say you got a few questions for him. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is, how does one become an extra in one of your movies or something like that? But the real thing is, I wanted to congratulate and salute you for the complexity of that Black and Blue. When I was watching that and I seen that you had a black woman who worked her way to become a policeman, and then she doesn't, you know, that she's not agreeing with, and when she turns back to the community, they're looking at her like, you're a policeman, get away from us. And that movie was a trip to just see that on film. But that is a great movie.
Man, I appreciate that, man. Thank you for that. The first question is, man, I mean, the first question to answer it, we were supposed to be shooting in July. It looks like we're not going to probably be shooting until October. People that want to be extras, man, we actually going to do a giant casting call in the Bay Area in Sacramento. We're doing a heist film called Free Agents, which is about second string NFL players that rob banks while they're on the road. And we're going to be looking for a lot of football players, a lot of guys that are in shape, a lot of females, just a lot of extras, a lot of club scenes. So we're going to be shooting that film in Atlanta, but what I'm going to probably do is pull around 200 extras out of Sacramento in the Bay Area. So I'll be putting that up on Instagram in the next probably 60 days or so. We'll have that on the gram. We'll have it on Facebook. I'll shoot it to O. So that's how we do that. And then secondly, man, on Black and Blue, yeah, that movie had a lot of controversy around it because it was a real story. And the reality is there's a blue line, and that's what we were exposing, you know, when you think about all the stuff that's going on, man, like most recently, you know, we've seen a young man in Sacramento get shot 28 times. And how I kind of developed this film was around a lot of the energy with that. So when that guy comes around the corner, he shoots his gun, boom, 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 boom. The idea is that there's other cops coming behind those two cops. If one police officer had the right audacity to just be like, yo, man, what you just did wasn't right, and say something, you wouldn't have these problems, right? If you was in a car and you was drunk and you ran over a little kid, as much as I love you, as much as you my brother, as much as we done went to war with each other, I can't defend you,
right?
I mean, it's just moral. It's just morals to this, man. Like, bro, you got drunk as hell and got in your car, right? And you killed this kid. Like, I can't, he really wasn't that drunk. Like, no, I got to say, man, him. I got to hug you. I got to be like, yo, you got to go do this time. But that's kind of how we have to be with the police. You can't have a line where I know you was drunk, I know you killed the kid, then I'll sit back and be like, well, he didn't drink at all. I was driving. Like, no, man, that's not, we got to get out of that world. So Black and Blue just explored that world, man, and that was a really fun movie to make. But at the same time, that movie was very controversial. There was a lot of stuff going on with the theater, you know, the movie. You know, I think it opened number 3 in the world, in the country. You know, it grossed like $28-29 million. But that movie was tough, man. There were so many theaters that did not want to play the film. They were lying about the film, selling different tickets. That was just a tough one, man. We had to, like, really sit down with Sony and have them go back and do a whole investigation of what was going on with that film. So sometimes you can make movies that are too real and they're very scary for people. And because I'm an independent artist, you know, I'm a scary person because I can make any movie that I want to make when I want to make it. So anyways, I love the question, man. Thank you for that.
Awesome. All right, we got Alita. Alita, you got a question for Dion? Alita from Sacramento.
No, Preston. I'm just proud of Dion. I remember when in old Sacramento, when I first met him at Roxanne.
Oh, my God.
He came a long
old
way.
Sacramento. Oh,
Cafe New Orleans.
Yeah.
Cafe New Orleans in the house.
Yes. And then we just clicked from there, and I'm just like, I'm as proud of you and Roxanne, just period. You know what I mean? You know.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
It's interesting, man.
We talk about Cafe New Orleans and all of that, man. It's so funny, man, because you don't never know, like, what position God is putting you in and why you're going through what you're going through in life. And if you really just pay attention, you'll understand that every little nuance of everything you've done is getting you ready for the next step. Man, I learned so much that I didn't realize doing music, learned so much, you know, throwing parties and opening the club up and, you know, making sure the bar makes money and making sure you've got a line and who's your guest and how to speak to promoters and all of those things, man, has attributed to me being a filmmaker. You know what I mean? An independent filmmaker. It teaches you
right.
how to work with money. It teaches you how to work with talent. It teaches you how to put on a production. It teaches, you know, it's so much that we like, damn it, we're so grateful for them times where, you know, you lost it all or no one came to the event and you had to, like, suck it up and figure it out. How do you make your flyer? How do you make your who's coming? How do you make people come to? All of those things are like, you know, you're working a muscle and developing a muscle. So later when you get to that point where you're really find out what your craft is, like you're just super genuine and strong at whatever that is, you know. So you have to take a chance,
bro. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to take a chance. Even playing a sport, you have to take chances. You took a chance. I did a post on Facebook not too long ago where I said it's never too late to hit reset on your life. It's never too early or too late to hit reset. Just because you know, people think you are one thing, that don't mean you can't hit the reset button. I have hit the reset button so many times in my life, never actually killing off the person that I hit the reset button on, just adding him to the mix and just building upon and making a greater version of what I reset from. You reset it.
That's right.
Watched it. I've seen it. And you know what I'm saying? And I adore that because that's the kind of, those are the type of people that I want to have on this show, is people who take risks, not just people who just sit around talking about what they want to do and have a meeting about a meeting about a meeting. No, fuck that. Because it was one night, I remember we was at the Ace of Spades, bro, and it was cold as shit. It was that type of cold that I know from video shoots at like 3 in the morning with 40 when we did Things That Never Change, and it was so miserable cold that I was like, fuck this shit, but it is what it is. And when I seen y'all across the street at the little parking structure shooting, you and Omar and everybody, I was like, yo, they over here really doing some shit. I hope it work out. You know, you know, as a brother, I'm like, I hope this shit work out. These niggas is crazy, right? You know, you're like, oh no, I'm with you 100%. You niggas is you gonna try to make it work. So, and I've seen you do so many things. Like you did the party at the before I even knew what the little Crocker Museum was. You had already did a party there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, he already ahead of the curve. He came to SAC and made everybody know that if you want to have a good time and party, come fuck with TaylorMade. You know what I mean? And ever since, y'all just been building on that and doing something that SAC has never seen. You know, SAC is lightweight mildew right now. We need an infusion of something like that, especially on this rebuild, because it's gonna be a rebuild, bro. Because a lot of these bars, they ain't making no money. You can't. The Ace of Spades is humbled because ain't nobody finna be in there no time soon. You know what I mean? Like none of these big venues is gonna fill up no time soon. I just heard Fucci? He just say they got some type of miracle drug or something that everybody is is probably going to be excited about in the next few days if they gas it enough. And there's so much misinformation out there that we need people that we can trust, bro. We need people that we can – when we hear them, we know that they're keeping it real and they're not bullshitting. So that's what I want this show to be. When you come on this show, it's going to be unfiltered. There ain't going to be no bullshit. If it's any fake shit, I'm not going to have it on here, bro. So and that's why I'm glad that on my third show – that this is, like I said earlier, Dion been on all three of my shows. He's been on the Road with Big Ol' Measy. He's been on the original Real Spill show, and he's been on this plantation of the Real Spill show. And he always keep it real. He always answer my calls. He's a real one. Y'all take note. Y'all follow this dude. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, while you got this free time, while you sitting your ass at the house. And I don't watch about 15 Netflix movies. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't watch all the fucking Netflix movies. I hit HBO Go. Look here, y'all put some new movies on there. They said, "Sir, we have new movies up May 1st." Okay, bet. Because I don't watch all this. You understand?
Yeah,
so I want y'all to watch Black and Blue. I want y'all to watch Intruder. I want y'all to watch everything that this brother got that's coming out, because his attention to details. That's what it is. I like movies. I used to, when I was living in East Oakland, I used to wake up, go pump gas, and then go to Eastmont Mall and watch 2-3 movies by myself. You know what I'm saying? Because helped me escape. It helped me escape the reality of what was right down the street on Sunnyside Park,
that's
all
right.
The D-Boys and all the hoes and all that shit. So that's what movies
right.
do for me. If Dion, I promise you, if your movie sucked, I'd say, like, bro, the movie sucked, bro. Like, because I'm a friend first. These
no,
movies is all, you know what I'm saying? These movies
gotta
is
hold
next.
Ourselves accountable.
I'm
that's
just
right.
saying,
that's
these
right.
these is real movies, bro. Like, we don't pussyfoot around. We keep it a buck because it's a real spill show. So I'm proud of you. I'm gonna take one more call. Let me see. I know 95 is on. Oh, hold on, Big Bunk. Bunk from Sacramento. I know you got a question for before we had to go for Dion. What's up?
Yo, what's going on? What's going on, Dion?
Peace, King. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Much love to you. So after watching Black and Blue, how did the female actress feel about playing that role? I know that was hard for her, playing someone had to get them emotions out there, being from the hood and being on the law enforcement side of it and still trying to save face in front of her people and abiding by the law and enforcing it. How was she during and after the filming?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. So Naomi Harris, that was a very hard movie for her to make because she is, I think once we got
British.
Into the film and really when we were in New Orleans, she had came, you know, she had just finished doing Moonlight with Mahershala Ali, and that movie won a bunch of Oscars, and she had just finished doing Bond, James Bond, the third one or whatever that is, and this was the first time she had like a dose of reality this way, you know, like we really was in New Orleans in the fourth ward, fifth ward, like really hitting the streets and with cops. And she was like, yo, this is insane. And I think she really understood like being a black female police officer in that environment, how dangerous it was. And number two, like what the code of the blue, you know, the blue line was. And halfway through the film, we had a couple moments, man, some nights where we had to really sit down and be like, yo, you good? You know, how you feeling? You know what I mean? Because it is emotional. And it was the same for Tyrese. You know, there was a few moments where Tyrese, you know, broke down filming because Tyrese is from Watts. And he had a few moments where he had been banged up, pulled over, people he knew had been killed by cops. Like, you know, so, like, especially the moment in the liquor store when he gets put against the when he gets arrested and then they let him go. Like that was the hardest scene of the movie. You know, it took us a while because everybody was tearing up and, you know, part of acting with all things, man, is if you really are sincere about it and you're really taking these moments seriously, you know, it's emotional. Acting is emotional. One of my really good friends, Jamie Foxx, you know, I remember when he did Ray, and I remember the aftermath of Ray with Jamie Foxx. A lot of people don't know this. Like he was in and out of, you know, rehabs and trying to figure out how to get his spacing back because he had went so deep into that character, he lost himself. And people think, oh, yeah, man, he just acting. Like, no, man, like part of being an artist is you must lose yourself in your craft. And, you know, and sometimes some of these people can't come back. If you've ever seen the Joker movie like that, that guy lost. Heath Ledger lost himself in the original Joker, and Joaquin Phoenix did it the second time. You know what I mean? So these are people that are understanding that, you know, the craft is there. So for Naomi, she lost herself in that role. She did an amazing job. And I'll be honest with you, man, like we were extremely disappointed that she didn't get an Oscar nomination for that movie. What that movie represented, it was the first time a black female police officer was on the big screen in any, historically, that's the first time we've ever had a movie where a black female lead as a police officer played a police officer in cinematic history. So I was like, we really wanted that, but we settled for a few other awards, and we also were nominated for NAACP Image Award for multiple things, so that was fine. But that's a great question, man. But, yeah, she dealt with it. It was hard, and she came out on the other side, like, just incredible. Now she is she's now the lead in the new James Bond that's coming out with Daniel Craig, and she's also opposite Tom Hardy in the lead in the new Venom 2. Which comes out end of this year now. So we're going to work again on something top of the year. But I love her, man. And, oh, let me just speak to this, man, because you said something before I go, man. The ability to reinvent yourself. And, oh, I have watched you for years do that. And you're right, man. That message needs to, like, that needs to be an alarm bell for everybody that's listening to this show. What's wrong with us a lot of times, black and brown people, we're scared to take a chance. We're scared to break the old us and start a new us. And that's the reason why I make film the way I make it. When I was first starting to do movie, people, you know, everything I've done has been that way. When I started doing music, I leaned on you. Oh, I asked you, how do you do this? I didn't know shit. You know what I mean? I didn't know nothing. I just knew my cousin had came from Gary. I was out here. I wanted him to rap. Big shout to Johan, you know, and my boy Twan, rest in peace, Twan, and, you know, all them guys. I was like, man, well, let me figure out how to do it. And we went down that road, and we tried to figure it out. Let me figure out how to do a video, and then it morphed into film. And why I'm saying this is because when I went into film, I loved horror movies, and I was told in some studios, like, yo, how could you be a black guy with a horror movie? And I'm like, I love horror movies. What are you talking about? And I modeled my career after Steven Spielberg, because I had to figure out, like, damn, I could not find one black filmmaker that made multiple films in different genres. So I am the first. And I went and had to tell a studio head one time, I said, yo, how is it that you guys are telling me I have to do this type of movie? But yes, Steven Spielberg was able to make Jaws and The Color Purple. So I said, I got to be that guy. You know what I mean?
You're right, right.
Never gonna be in a box, man. So I've always been able to reinvent different things, reinvent myself, make sure that I'm doing it this way. And look, it's okay to fail. It's okay to fall down. It's okay for people to laugh at you. When I was first starting to do the film things, I remember people like, oh, you doing them little movies. Oh, you trying to do the little movies. You know, like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you gotta do that, man. You gotta sleep in the car. You gotta fall down. You gotta go broke. You gotta have the moments where you don't know if you're gonna make it tomorrow. You gotta do all of those things. But the one thing you have to always remain is have integrity and care about what you're doing. Everything else will work out, man. The universe will give you back everything you want tenfold if you put everything you have into it and don't try to cheat it. You know what I mean?
No question.
And that's what I learned, man. Like, yo, don't cheat. Don't cheat the universe. Don't get somebody to hook you up. And I go back to the analogy of sports. If your boy is the biggest agent in the world, and he also is a partner in the NBA, and you like, yo, I hoop. And he like, all right, well, I'm going to get you set up to be on the Kings. Right? Here's the thing. You just got hooked up. So the minute that they roll the balls out there, right, And you got to now go guard De'Aaron Fox. If you ain't did the work, everybody in the world finna see it. In one whop, they finna see this dude blow by you and slam on your goddamn braids, right? And you're going to be like, what? It don't matter. So what I'm saying is you got to go do the work. Did you work all summer? Did you lift, put in the work? You can't cheat the universe. You can't get hooked up. Because once you do that, you build that foundation. You now have something to stand on. If you've really done all that work and now you get out there with De'Aaron Fox and he go left and you guard him and you block his shot, you go down there and make a shot, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? So I approach everything that way, man. Oh, I want to tell you I'm proud of you, man, and thank you, brother. I really, I love you, man. And
thank you, brother. Thank you.
We got a really big movie coming out where we were supposed to come June. They just moved it to October. Halloween, Fatale, 2-time Academy Award winner Hilary Swank, Michael Ealy, Mike Coulter, Tyron Turner, Damaris Lewis is coming out wide everywhere in the world. Halloween, man. And I would love to figure out how to get you doing the press junket so you could bring the show up there, man, and go live and meet all the cast and all that good stuff as we get closer.
I'm doing it. We're doing it. We on it. I've been on lockdown so long, I ain't turning down shit. You need to be like, you want to go fishing? Hell yeah, I want to go fishing. Let's go fishing.
I love it, man.
Hey,
send
everybody my love. Tell Roxanne I said, what's up? Oh, everybody, the whole team, man, I appreciate you, brother. That's another episode of the Real Spill Show. I went overtime with it, man. I had to pull some strings, man. I had to go overtime with myself. I had to talk with myself. I said, self, let's go overtime. And myself said, okay.
We in it, man.
So
right,
look,
Okay,
my brother. Hey, y'all go check out all the movies, everything Dion got going on, man. We overtime with it. You smell me? We're going to be back next week. I ain't going to tell y'all who the surprise guest, but we're going to keep going bigger and bigger and bigger. Me and my sister show, Sibling Rivalry, that's going to be next Tuesday at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., you feel me? And it's going down, man. I appreciate everybody that's tuned in. Shout out Bunk. Shout out 95 Mil. Shout out the homegirl Lita, Chris. Everybody is going down, man. 100 Real Spill Show.